Representative Milo Fritz, Chairman. Representative Joe Flood. Representative Barbara Locker. Representative Randy Phillips. Representative Don Clarkson. Representative Jack McBride. Representative Mike Szymanski. Report was signed by due pass by Hayes, Chairman, Barnes, Adams, and Fuller. Mike M. Miller signed, not concurring.
Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, I didn't hear a vice chair of the committee read.
That's correct.
Is it I guess a parliamentary inquiry, I guess. Can you do that?
Yes. The information of the body, the report says a realignment. Representative Locker has been replaced by Representative Fritz as the chairman, and at this time there has been no designee for vice chairman. Representative Miller, do you want to look that up?
No, sir. I just wanted to comment that if none is designated,
it can probably be done very easily by an election within the committee.
Yes. Are you ready for the question?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative McBride.
As a point of order, and I realize that I'm a freshman and don't know all the parliamentary procedure, but we were in the middle of one motion. Can we, under our rules, go ahead and answer another?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So we can go ahead with other businesses until the call is satisfied. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the Committee on Committees report dated June 20, 1983, realigning the membership of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
25 yeas, 14 nays.
Committee on Committees report has been adopted. Without objection, we can move down to unfinished business. Representative Clarkson.
Mr. Speaker, the report just before that was the report on 251, and it indicated there was a conference committee bill. I was just trying to look up the rule quickly here. There is a 24-hour rule, but I don't have the bill yet. When does the 24 hours start to run?
Yes, we didn't. We read it without any action because the bill has not, as I understand it, the conference committee bill has not been printed. And I suppose technically you can, it would run perhaps when you get the bill, but that would be my interpretation without further research. Representative Hurlburt? House, please stand at ease. Representative Clarkson, on your point of order, or your parliamentary inquiry, I believe, rather than a point of order, during the at ease, I read the rules, what I think was the pertinent section in the rules with the clerk, and we didn't see anything about a 24-hour rule for a conference committee report. I did just check it with legal counsel, Billy Barrier. It's his opinion that that the 24-hour rule doesn't apply for the conference committee report. However, since it is a parliamentary inquiry, I have asked him to research that and give me an opinion tomorrow so that we'll have that information before us, because we will be dealing with several committee reports in the near future. Meanwhile, the clerk advises me that the committee report and the accompanying bill will be on each member's desk, we hope, before we adjourn this evening. Representative Duncan?
Duration on my vote on the committee report.
On the what?
Committee on committee report.
Based on my ruling? Representative Wendy?
I'm not going to get out of that one. Point of information, though, for the information of myself or other members of the body, we now have a situation where a committee chairman also serves on finance committee, certainly within the rules, but not a tradition or a usual circumstance. We now have one individual who is chairman of two committees, again, an unusual circumstance. May I interpret that that's a judgment on the outstanding abilities of that individual as opposed to a lack of availability of someone with sufficient ability within the coalition to take up one of those two chairmanships?
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would think that the member from Ketchikan would know the answer to that. Certainly, our members' abilities are of the utmost outstanding that anyone could possibly have, and certainly they will not have any trouble serving on those two very important and distinguished committees, in both cases, Finance, Community, Regional Affairs, and HESS. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We have the Sergeant of Arms has advised me that the call has been satisfied. We now have before us the question of shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 103, Judiciary, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 103, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
16 yeas, 24 nays.
The House has failed to concur in Senate amendments at this time. I'm going to appoint a new conference committee consisting of Representative Bussell, Chairman, Representative Ward, and Representative Clarkson. This brings us back on the daily order of business to unfinished business. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to bring up at this time the reconsideration for House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 265, State Affairs.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee Substitute for a Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 265, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act relating to permits issued for games of chance and contests of skill. We are in third reading, Mr. Speaker, and I have a proposed amendment on my desk.
Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one by Mr. Zaroff. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. It starts page 1, lines 22 through 25.
Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that we return to second reading for purpose of a specific amendment.
There is objection. The amendment has been read. Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is on everybody's desk, and we were, when we had this bill before us, we were looking at the possibilities of maybe how it would have some impact on some of the outlying areas. Mr. Speaker, I have a difficult time condoning gambling throughout the state, but in areas such as the area that I represent, I have organizations, local organizations, that would find it somewhat difficult to hold an event there that went for 3 days. And in many cases, these organizations that do these, that hold these types of events, try to spread them out throughout the course of the year, and they raise funds for a lot of their charitable activities. And to try to, or to limit them to one activity per year running 3 days consecutively will probably hamper the ability of that organization there to perform the many times the good works that they do. And what this amendment would attempt to do, Mr. Speaker, would be to give an option to those organizations or municipalities to either hold one event for 3 days or to have three
events there of not to exceed one day each. And I think this gives them just a little bit of latitude, and it offers the flexibility to probably plan their activities throughout the course of the year. The groups that I associate with in Kodiak, a lot of them, some of them, I should say, have only one activity a year. Others may have two, and very seldom three activities. Usually they have one in the spring and one in the fall, and those are based on the fishing seasons, and I feel there that this year will probably hinder those activities.
Representative Abood.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Number one, they don't have to hold the event for 3 days. They can hold it up to 3 days. It's going to triple the paperwork that has to be taken care of in the department. And then the next thing you know, they're going to want more money. That means that over 900 organizations, and you can bet your sweet bippy that they're going to go 3 times a year. Now, if the representative from Crabsville is so interested in gambling, why then he surely can't want these organizations to have them 3 times a year for 1 day. The purpose of the bill is to have a single event not lasting more than 3 days and make it conclusive throughout the whole state. We have the same problem in Anchorage. You've got it in Kotzebue. You've got it in all over the state. We're all equal and under this one deal. But to open it up for 3 events on 3 separate occasions, Mr. Speaker, I just don't think it will be right. And if this does go through, then the single event lasting no more than 3 days is absolutely meaningless. So the whole amendment is not, if we adopt it, it isn't a right amendment. It should be taken back, and I'd ask the body to vote against the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Zaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's the first time I've been referred to as somebody from Crabsville, but I kind of like it. It has a nice ring to it. I don't see that, Mr. Speaker, as being a major problem, and I think if it became a problem in some of the municipalities, that it wouldn't be very long that you would see ordinances being adopted to take care of that particular problem. And what I'm looking at is the flexibility of those small organizations that deal with small numbers of people, usually ranging anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 people, and trying to spread their activities out throughout the course of the year and not try to look for that one major big-time killing, if you will. I think this does offer them that opportunity to at least plan out their activities and maybe move forth on that. No.
Representative Abood.
But Mr. Speaker, those 5,000 people he's talking about, there are organizations that have 100 people in them, just 100 people. I think they can plan their activities to go ahead with one event, one a year. This will absolutely make these organizations go for 3 times a year. And I just don't think that's in the intent of the bill itself. In all seriousness, I think this would be very disastrous to the communities, even into the organizations.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know who's from Crabsville, but I don't see what difference it makes whether you give one permit for 3 days or 3 permits for 3 different days, and I support the motion to go back to second reading for that amendment.
Representative Schultz.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this amendment. I too can see where this would help in some of the smaller communities, for example, the American Legions, the VFWs, and things of that nature around the state that do only hold one-day events, and they possibly fall under the jurisdiction of some umbrella corporation that may be in a very small community. And I support the amendment, and I read it the same way that the representative from Kodiak does.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 265, Finance, be returned from third to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Cato?
From
Nay to Yay. Cato from Nay to Yay. Clerk, may take the roll.
26 yays, 14 nays.
We have returned from third to second reading. Representative Zaroff, if you'll move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number one to the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 265, Finance, which is before us under reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
29 yeas, 11 nays.
Amendment has been adopted. The bill is now back before us in third reading. Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 265, Finance, amended House, pass the House on reconsideration? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
34 yeas, 6 nays.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 265, Finance, has passed the House on reconsideration. Representative Abboud.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 255, Rules, be waived from the Senate, title of it is an act relating to the payment of attorney services and expenses for indigent crime defendants prosecuted by municipalities, providing for effective date, that it be waived from the State Affairs as a committee.
What are the other committees of referral?
I believe it's Judiciary, sir.
Judiciary and Finance. Finance. Yes,
and Finance.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other unfinished business to come before the body? Representative Flood.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for House Bill 345, Judiciary, an act relating to victims' rights, be waived from rules and placed on the House calendar for Tuesday, June 21st.
There is objection.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 345 addresses some of the more important issues that members of your majority coalition have placed on their priorities for this session, that being law and order. HB 345 will further establish the rights of victims of crime. This fine piece of legislation has been laying around in rules since May 26th, nearly a month of inaction, and I can only believe that this is just an oversight, the same kind of oversight that also has taken HB 345 off the majority coalition list of priorities. While there is certainly room for the legislature to take additional steps in the area of victims' rights, I believe this is minimal that should be done this year. 30 people in this body have supported this legislation, including you and the majority leader, Mr. Speaker. And I want to thank you for that, and I'll call for the question.
Are you ready for the question?
Yeah.
Question is, shall the Judiciary Committee Substitute for House Bill 345 be removed from the Rules Committee and placed on tomorrow's calendar? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, may take the roll.
16 yeas, 24 nays.
The motion to place the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 345 on tomorrow's calendar has failed. Is there other unfinished business? Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move that House Bill 320, which is an act relating to the oil sales, world oil sales, sorrel, House Bill 371 and Senate Bill 269, be removed from Resources Committee
and advanced to the next committee of referral, which is, I believe, is Finance.
Objection. Representative Miller, are those the correct designations, House Bill 320, 371, and Senate Bill 269, or are there committee substitutes?
Mr. Speaker, I believe there are committee substitutes. I could ask the Resources Chairman, or if you want me to take the time, I can look it up in here. Mr. Speaker, as I mentioned, that the first one was the Tesoro contract. The House Bill 371 is also the Tesoro contract, and you're right, those are committee substitutes. And the Senate Bill 269 is the Chevron North Slope Prudhoe Bay contract. Mr. Speaker, speaking in support of the motion.
Excuse me, Representative Davis, you wish the floor?
I'm sorry,
Representative Miller, but
no,
he was
fine. That's fine. If he has the correct numbers, that's fine. I was thinking it was different numbers, but
pardon?
I was thinking that the motion might not be in order if those were incorrect numbers, but if those are the correct,
excuse me, Representative Miller.
My point.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, these pieces of legislation, which in this motion are almost treated as a package, although obviously there's three bills and actually three different choices members can make. But these pieces of legislation, I think, are pieces that all of us, I think, or at least most of us, and I think most of us on this floor, agree should be handled before we adjourn this legislature. Should be handled at least to the extent of advancing to the floor of this House so that members can vote yes or vote no. Certainly no prohibition against a member voting no if they feel in their conscience that it's not in the state of Alaska's best interest to sign these contracts. But, Mr. Speaker, a lot of us feel that these contracts represent an opportunity for continued development in Alaska. A lot of us feel that these contracts represent an opportunity for continued, in fact, expanded Alaskan jobs for Alaskans in Alaska. And, Mr. Speaker, we also feel that they're in the best interests of this state in relation to the amount of money that they would bring in. And so we feel that these bills should be brought to the floor. If any member disagrees with any of the those assumptions that I just made, that's fine. That's legitimate. They can record their vote yay or nay. In fact, Mr. Speaker, one of the purposes of this motion that I'm making right now, as you well know, is to record members' intentions, yay or nay, because it's awfully easy for a member to perhaps not take the legislation as seriously if that member doesn't have to be recorded on it. But this would be a motion, Mr. Speaker, not to leave this legislation bottled up. This would be a motion, an opportunity to vote to advance this bill to the next committee of referral. We're not asking that we bypass finance. The responsible thing is for finance to have the opportunity to look at this legislation. And that's what we want to see happen. And so this would just be the opportunity for that bill to move out. This way, if members have hesitation, they won't even have to go through the, perhaps the embarrassment, I don't know, of saying do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. It'll just pass quietly up to the next committee, and the next committee will do the work that the Resources Committee apparently intended to do last week when it scheduled this legislation, but failed to follow through and actually do what was scheduled to happen. I respectfully ask the members to vote yes on this motion.
Representative Miller, would you restate the motion?
Speaker, I'll move that
And when I say this, I do apologize because I think there are committee substitutes. So I'm referring to the committee substitutes if they exist in each piece here. But the basic legislation is House Bill 320, that's a tesoro contract, House Bill 371, again, tesoro contract, Senate Bill 269. Those three pieces of legislation, Mr. Speaker, I move that they be removed from their current committee of referral, which is House Resources, and advanced to the next committee of referral, which is House Finance.
Thank you. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or excuse me, Mr. Speaker. It would appear today that the minority leader is again attempting to help the different standing committees do their work through motions to remove bills from committees. Mr. Speaker, I believe that there has been a considerable amount of information requested on these particular bills and that information has not been forthcoming. And until such time as it is forthcoming, I don't believe that the committee can make the kind of decision that is being asked of them to make today. Mr. Speaker, I would recommend a no vote.
Representative Lindauer?
Mr. Speaker, I have an inquiry. Speaker from Juneau, previous Speaker from Juneau referred to the impact on commerce, I believe, and business of these bills. And my inquiry is, do these bills have a referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee?
No, they don't, sir. Representative Furness.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak on the motion. Several days ago, we voted on a similar piece of legislation, not dealing with this particular subject, but a motion by the minority leader. And I think most of us didn't understand the significance of that vote. And when I did discover, just in talking to some people over the weekend, I think our actions were mistaken. What the minority leader is asking us to do, as has been acknowledged here, is to take a bill out of committee premature. And I think it's important that we go on record to, first of all, at least I want to be on record saying here that I'm interested in those contracts as anyone else. I'm also interested that we do our homework and that we do the best job that we can on behalf of the state. And to prematurely move these contracts forward prior to the questions being answered does not do this state justice, and it does not serve this body any good to do so. But I think the record need to reflect that. I think this body does support the essence of the contract, but there are specific questions that needs to be addressed. First of all, are we getting a fair dollar for the resources that's leaving this state? That's the most important question. I don't think the minority leader or anyone else on this floor can answer that. The second question, Mr. Speaker, can we justify at this time in the development of this state extending contracts over the period of time, the long period of time that is being asked for? I don't know the answer to that, but I think with further hearings on this issue, we will be able to answer that. So I'm going to vote against the motion, but I want the records to show why I'm voting and that the minority leader's motion at this time is premature. I think that's very important. Thank you.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll agree with you. This is awfully early in the session to be dealing with important legislation like this. It's only the 155th day, and we're going at a breakneck pace. And I really hate to be part of this railroad to try to rush this legislation to the floor. But, Mr. Speaker, we've just got to do it because, according to the announcement that you and others have made, we're going to adjourn Thursday. Oh, come on, Mr. Speaker, who are we kidding around here? People talking about premature. This piece of legislation has been sitting in these committees in this House for weeks. Mr. Speaker, the minority, at least, didn't have any problem getting some of the answers. We announced an open caucus that members of this floor were invited to. We had people from the Department of Natural Resources over there. We asked the very questions that my colleague from Anchorage asked. I got what I thought was some pretty good answers. If the Republican Majority Caucus in here will just hold some hearings on some of this legislation, like I hope the Finance Committee will do, you might get some answers. This interminable, never-ending proliferation of paper
you know, questions by correspondence. You wouldn't think these people were just right across the street the way we write letters in this session of the legislature. Mr. Speaker, on the 155th day of the legislature, to be talking about this being premature, the only positive point I can make on that, Mr. Speaker, is my congratulations to the member for keeping a straight face while he says it.
Question. Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, this must be a controversial issue. I was wondering if possibly, without intending to cause any embarrassment of the chairman of the Resources Committee, maybe we could get some clarification as to why the bill was... ...committee last meeting, when it was calendared. If there are particular questions for which he's awaiting an answer as a member of that committee, I would appreciate knowing what those questions are. If that was not the issue, I'd appreciate knowing what the issue was. It seemed we had an opportunity to deal with it last meeting.
Representative Cowdery?
Yes. I am chairman of the Oil and Gas Committee, and some of the questions
that were asked that haven't had answers to yet was the financial statements of the companies, the profit and loss statements of the people that we have the contract with, the term, the benefit to the state for the term of the contract, and the price, what the so-called premiums, what that benefit and actually was that actually a premium? All these questions, I think that probably there's over 1,000 bills in both bodies, or near 1,000, that come before the bodies during this session, and some bills are heard in committees and some aren't heard if they're not worthy to be heard. And so I think that this has been a many hearings or questions asked. I think that these hearings have been given the people involved given every opportunity to address the questions that's been brought up in committee, and they've failed to do this in many areas of it, and I think that's why they're still in committee until the questions are answered. I know there's a lot of people comment on the contracts. I doubt that many of the people that have commented have even read the contracts. So anyway, I think this is I would urge the committee to or the people in the body to vote against the amendments to pull these bills out of committee.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, much has been said about these particular bills as they relate to the economy of the state of Alaska. Mr. Speaker, for the record, I would like to point out that the members of the Majority Coalition Caucus are the members of this body who have a history of working to establish a sound economic base for the people of the state of Alaska. They've worked long and diligently to make sure that we have an economy based on our renewable resources that will sustain our state and generations to come. Mr. Speaker, it is interesting to me that we are the ones that have fought to keep down taxes on not only the oil industry but other industries in our state so that we might have an economy that is viable and that ask new industry to come in. I believe it is our history that today also requires us to make a rational decision in the long-term best interest of the state. It is very easy to stand up and make a motion to pull a bill from committee. However, it is also very difficult to hold a bill in committee when you especially have a history of supporting most anything that will create jobs for the people of the state of Alaska. If memory serves me correctly, the particular jobs that would be left behind should the Tesoro contracts be approved after the development of that refinery would be some 20 jobs. But I also believe that at this time, Tesoro, for example, has, from previous contracts with the state, a large number of barrels of oil that they're not presently using. And I would think that they, if they have a need to expand their refinery, that they would first use those barrels of oil that they're not using and go forth from there. Mr. Speaker, there's much been said about the 30% or 30 cents royalty we would get on this oil, but the question remains, would we in fact get a 30 cents a barrel royalty on this? I think not. I think that what I have just seen recently leads me to believe that if a lawsuit was won or lost, that we in fact would get nothing. And I really believe that in the best interest of the people of the state of Alaska, we have to fully understand these contracts.
President Miller?
I agree with the member on one point she made. She said that her party, the Republican Party, had a habit of keeping down oil taxes. They certainly do. They gave away several hundred million dollars worth last year, or last in the last legislature. But, Mr. Speaker, that point aside, the debate that she raises is very much the debate that we should be debating these bills. The point she makes are a point that she's perfectly entitled to be making. It's a point of view that she can make when the bills get before us on the floor. And if her point of view prevails, the bills fail. So far, though, the bills are hidden, locked up, handcuffed, tied down, in a basket, in a jar, in resources. And we can't even legally debate the merits of the bill. That's why that bill, those bills should be moved out of its present hostage status, taken up to finance, where a committee can, and I presume will, honestly look at the question and then bring the pertinent facts to this floor. Maybe the majority leader and others can even convince me that my present viewpoint is wrong on the thing. And maybe she can convince me that I should vote against the bills. But right now, we can't even legally debate the merits of the question because they're locked up in a committee.
President Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would not presume to ask the minority leader to vote against those bills. If and when the information is forthcoming that says that it is desirable for the state of Alaska to have those contracts, I would be the first to vote for them. So certainly I would not be asking the minority leader to vote against those bills. I believe that the minority leader knows fully well that the information requested has not been forthcoming, and it is a very difficult thing for the members of our particular caucus to keep a bill in committee requesting information on it. But until that information is forthcoming, I suppose the minority leader will continue to make motions in an attempt to embarrass the majority caucus.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I place a call on the House on the motion, and then I'd like to speak.
Call has been placed on the motion, I believe. Representative Malone, you have the floor.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in support of the motion, I'd like to give some reasons to for the members of the House to support the motion to move these bills to the next committee referral. First of all, Mr. Speaker, it's been stated on the floor that there's some unanswered questions here, and as near as I can calculate, these items of legislation were introduced over 60 days ago. It seems to me that's a reasonable period of time for a committee to get information, and if the committee is unable or unwilling to develop the information to make a decision on that period of time, some other committee perhaps should have that responsibility, and that's one reason to support the motion. The second reason to support the motion, I think, is probably the issues that were raised on the floor by the chairman of the Special Oil and Gas Committee. He talked about financial statements, profits and loss, the price under the contracts as to whether the state's going to be ahead of the game or not. Those are essentially financial questions, and I think just a matter of jurisdiction and the staff and future impacts on the state probably can be better addressed in the Finance Committee, and I would expect them to be addressed there, and at least that the Finance Committee at some point is going to take a vote on these important issues, and so far, of course, that hasn't happened in the committee in which their bills are languishing. Finally, Mr. Speaker, if the action of the motion is not accomplished, either through the motion or through the actions of the committee, it is possible that this legislature will adjourn this year without voting on the contracts. And I think that's probably the worst thing that could happen for this reason. This administration and the last one as well, I think, made it pretty clear that they consider that the negotiation and the execution of contracts is primarily an executive function. Mr. Speaker, I think some pretty good arguments can be made for the legislature to be in a position of advice and consent on dispositions of major amounts of state assets such as this oil represents. But, Mr. Speaker, if the legislature fails to act, the legislature fails to vote yes or no, the administration has no advice, neither consent nor denial. And Mr. Speaker, I think it's pretty hard for the legislature, when it fails to act, to claim a responsibility, because, Mr. Speaker, if the legislature fails to act, they're not carrying out the responsibility. So I would urge the House to adopt this motion, because I think it's important, most of all, the legislature retain the ability to approve of or disapprove of major dispositions of state resources. And by not acting, the legislature could very well lose that responsibility. And I think it's an important check and balance on the executive branch. I would urge the members to adopt the motion.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Duncan?
We have just a brief at ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Malone?
Speaker, I lift my call on the motion.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I think we made our point, and I quite honestly don't want to drive this into being a procedural us versus them thing. So at least for tonight, having raised the issue, and I hope raised some consciousness, and in the hope perhaps that the Resources Committee will abide itself of the opportunity to consider this legislation very promptly that's been entrusted to it, and I think that it has an absolute obligation to consider. With that hope, Mr. Speaker, for today at least, I'll withdraw the motion to jerk the bill.
Without objection, the motion is withdrawn. Representative Barnes?
Yes.
Oh, good. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Plessinger be excused from the call of the House from the 25th through the 27th.
Is the objection maintained? Hearing none, Representative Plessinger is excused as requested. Representative Barnes? While the members are looking at their limbo file, on the parliamentary inquiry question that was raised by Representative Clarkson, I have been advised by Billy Berry, our legal arm of the Legislative Affairs Agency, that he's had an opportunity to research the question of the 24-hour rule on conference committees, and he is of the opinion that there's not a 24-hour requirement for conference committee reports. In fact, he points out that in Mason's section 770, paragraph 4, that there's wording to the effect that a conference committee report may be taken up immediately. So that, Representative Clarkson, is the latest on that. Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 270 Hess, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 270 Judiciary, and recommends that the members vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill Number 270 Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to child pornography.
So debate. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 270 Hess, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 270 Judiciary? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
37 yeas, no nays.
The House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 270 Judiciary. Representative Barnes?
The next bill I'll be dealing with is House Bill 311. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House concur in the Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 311, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 311, Labor and Commerce, and recommend that the members vote yes.
Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 311, Labor and Commerce, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation and providing for an effective date.
So debate. Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to Committee Substitute for House Bill 311, Labor and Commerce, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 311, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
35 yeas, 3 nays.
The House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 311, Labor and Commerce. Representative Barnes, there is an effective date.
Of Senate Committee Substitute, Committee Substitute, House Bill 311, Labor and Commerce, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent the House concurring the Senate amendments to House Bill 314, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 314 resources, and recommend the members vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 314 Resources by the Resources Committee, an act making a special appropriation to the Legislative Affairs Agency for operation of the Joint Oil and Gas Committee and providing for an effective date.
So debate. Representative Clarkson.
Somebody tell me why we're about to approve a version that triples the amount of money that we're going to spend on the Joint Oil and Gas Committee, and explain why we need to spend over $200,000 for that committee?
Representative Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't answer that, but it's a very good question. When this bill was in Finance Committee earlier in this House and was on the floor, I asked a question about the budget, and I was assured at that time it was going to be $73,600. Not did it just double to give the other body equal, but it, as the representative from downtown Anchorage pointed out, has tripled. I'm wondering if the finance chairman or the resources chairman or some chairman has a copy of the proposed budget that's going to expend $207,500 in this committee. If so, I'd like to see it before we vote on it.
Representative Adams?
Yeah. I do have that paperwork upstairs, Mr. Speaker, but that is correct. The House did approve $73,000, which include one person. The Senate is twice as much as ours, approximately $140,000, but they have two people in it, and that's all I can say about this. I do have the budget upstairs.
Representative Cowdery?
Thank you. Just shooting from the hip here, I talked to the Senate, and since these they are having a on their side a professional secretary, I believe, and a aide involved, and they have some contractual fees in theirs that we was very small on our side, and I think the purpose of it was to address some of the legislation that to straighten out some of the royalty oil contracts that's probably going to have to be addressed in the interim. So I think that that's probably explains some of the figures that the Senate has come up with on their side.
Representative Clarkson?
Well, Mr. Speaker, with regard to the royalty oil contracts, as I understand those contracts, if they are not approved this year, they won't be around to look at in the interim. So I don't know that there's a justification there for this staff. The indication from the finance chairman was one staff member for $73,000. That's not bad if that's going to be salary, and I assume it's not all salary. But still, I just can't believe that we're going to need to spend that kind of money for the Joint Oil and Gas Committee.
Representative Cowdery?
Yes, the royalty oil contract, you're right, if we don't deal with them, they will lapse. However, the questions that we have to address in the statutes is that's going to have to be answered is the dealing with our royalty oil, and that includes establishing hopefully some guidelines to the Department of Natural Resources for putting up to competitive bids, and also giving in-state refiners a preference. So anyway, this is, I talked with the other body chairman just very briefly in the hall about this earlier, and that was some of the things that we talked about, and that's what the other body felt that was necessary to have this committee be productive during the interim.
Representative Herman?
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. Before us, a motion to adopt the Senate committee, the Senate amendments to House Bill 314. I'm going to call the House at this time. And while the call is being satisfied, if there's no further debate, perhaps we can move on down to announcement of other unfinished business or announcement of committee meetings. Is there other unfinished business? Representative Adams, under announcements?
Under announcements. House Finance will start up right after 5 minutes after adjournment tonight and announce those. We will be meeting at 7 a.m. in the morning to take up those three bills. Plus, I will also add two more bills, the Senate Bill 150. It's making various appropriations for water and sewer facilities, and Senate Bill 229, making special appropriation to the University of Alaska for capital projects and planning. We did have these bills up before. At 8:30, the Conference Committee on the Budget will start, go on till 10 a.m., and then come back in and continue its work on the budget at 1:30 to 5 p.m. tomorrow.
The Sergeant of Arms has advised me that the call has been satisfied on House Bill 314. Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm a little slow. Do you think I could get those bills again that are going to be in finance tonight and tomorrow morning, please?
Representative Adams.
Thank you. Tonight we'll take up Senate Bill 156, relating to the sale, lease, and grant of state hatchery facilities. Senate Bill 168 relating to the Alaska Power Authority. At 7 a.m. in the morning, we'll take up Senate Bill 208, extending the termination date of the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board. Senate Bill 79 relating to the toxic and hazardous substance in the workplace. Senate Bill 233 enacting the Northwest Interstate Compact on low-level waste management. And the two I mentioned, Senate Bill 150 and 229.
Is there further debate on House Bill 314? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 314, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for House Bill 314 resources? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
24 yeas, 16 nays.
The House has concurred in Senate amendments, thus adopting Senate committee substitute for House Bill 314 resources. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on passage to Senate committee substitute House Bill 314 resources be considered the roll call vote on the effective date.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. 24 to 14.
Mr. Speaker, may I?
Representative Barnes.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw the previous motion.
Without objection, the motion, previous motion is withdrawn. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the effective date clause.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, Representative Clarkson. House, please stand at ease. Question is, shall the House adopt the effective date clause for the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 314 resources? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
39 yeas, 1 nay.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Is there further unfinished business to come before the body? Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the House Democratic Caucus will meet at 7:45 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know if very many people know this here, but one of my colleagues is colorblind and should have voted green on the last vote. And no, it's true. It's true.
Representative Larson?
Yes. Representative Vasco is speaking in my behalf, and that is true, what he had to state.
I tell him he didn't believe me.
He did, but I thought he was joking, Mr. Speaker.
President Miller?
Under announcements, the members will probably be anxious to know that the roses this week being worn by the Democratic minority are furnished by Governor Sheffield.
Special orders. Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request the privilege of the floor to speak on the recent actions in the other body and also the election of the Attorney General.
You have the floor, Representative Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Basically, just almost 60 days ago, this body passed by a two-thirds margin the HJR 7, which was the election of Attorney General. It was defeated in the other body today. Basically, It could have been put before the people, and all my constituents, almost 80% in District 12, and I understand from my colleague from District 13, almost 80% in his district were in favor of the election of Attorney General. And it's unfortunate that the other people in the body who share that district voted against it, and there were only 6 votes. But possibly can do more next time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On each member's desk today was a letter from the United Fishermen of Alaska signed by its executive director, Cass Parsons, referring to the problems regarding the Board of Fisheries. I'm aware that there are a variety of reasons why that board was not confirmed, paramount among those the concern for sport fish representation on the board. I would like to, at this time, ask the leadership of this body to consider very carefully the possibility of holding a joint session to deal with the other appointees. Apparently, there are members of this body who don't think that's important, or else who possibly have other issues in mind when the Board of Fisheries is considered. But nonetheless, we do have fishermen in the state who will be having area conflicts and problems of a variety of sorts, who do deserve to have a board of some sort or another to listen to their concerns. Some of the members who were voted from that board, in particular, because he's the only one I know about specifically, the gentleman from Dillingham, and other members who remain on the board but whose positions are in limbo, if you will, represent some of the finest minds in the field. One in particular, in my opinion, is probably the foremost biological mind in the state. I would very much like to see some action taken on this. I know the fishermen of the state would as well, not in order to support any particular nominee, but simply that we do have a Board of Fisheries. And I would respectfully request that the majority in its wisdom do consider that it might be appropriate for us to initiate some sort of action and maybe even preempt the other body in that